On this episode of the Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Stacy Lane, Executive Vice President of Field Operations at Staffmark Group. Leslie and Stacy discuss the unique attributes that make Staffmark extraordinary, including how the organization breeds curious mavericks and encourages employees to integrate ideas and invite disruption. Stacy also shares how she landed in her dream role, the importance of creating trust and transparency in your leadership, and how she learned to believe in herself and become her own career champion. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, and I am the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing. And it is my pleasure to welcome Stacy Lane to the Edge Podcast. Currently Executive Vice President of Field Operations for Staffmark Group, where you've spent, Stacy, the past 20 years. Welcome, Stacy.
Happy to be here.
It's so nice to be with you today. It's always nice when you have a friend in the industry on the podcast when you can have such a great conversation. So I look forward to recording this with you. And you, Stacy, you fell into staffing in your early 20s after moving to California. You kept seeing jobs come up and thought, oh, I'll just take one of those. But little did you know it would set the path for your future. So it's a 20-year path in history, but tell us about your road to Executive Vice President.
Sure. Thanks, Leslie. Well, I think as you mentioned, after falling into staffing, you know, I really didn't have any knowledge about the industry. And it's interesting that I fell in love with it and it loved me back. So for the most part of the first 17 years that I've been with Staffmark Group, I primarily ran the business operations in our Western states, with California being the largest within my scope. When RGF staffing companies combined the field leadership in 2017, a new role of Executive Vice President for Field Operations was created to oversee all of commercial field operations for our three brands, which are Staffmark, Advantage Resourcing, and ProStaff. So I competed for this role and was fortunate to get my dream job, the job I've always wanted. And I think what's been really fun about the last 3 years is not only am I writing my own job description, so to speak, I'm also now shaping decisions around brand collaboration, harmonizing about three of everything, like incentive comp, job titles, setting goals, and all the while trying to remember to capture and share the best practices from all of our brands and preserve things that are really important, like culture, employees, clients, and then make changes so that we can move our collective brands forward. It's been a really transformative time for Staffmark Group, and I love it.
Aw, well, you can hear the passion and energy in your voice when you talk about it. And there must be something pretty special. I mean, definitely being able to chart your own path is pretty critical. And of course, working with wonderful people, but there was something special about Staffmark that's kept you for 20 plus years. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I know, I can't believe it's been 20 years. Leslie, honestly, at the risk of sounding cliche, it really is a lot about the people that I just get the pleasure of working with. I mean, Staffmark Group has got some really rich tenure in our team. And there's some relationships that have lasted the whole 20 years that I've been here. I met Gino on my first day. And as well as I get an opportunity to meet new people and learn from them. Staffmark Group, like you say, it's such a special company. And my interactions with our teams, with our clients, our talent, it's a great reminder every single day of how lucky we are to all work together. And I love the people I work with. You know, I also really enjoy working for a company that's always evolving. Staffmark Group isn't satisfied with the status quo. And so being a part of change and change management is actually really exciting for me. I know that's not for everyone, but I enjoy it. I like to say that we breed curious mavericks at Staffmark Group. We incubate ideas. And we really invite disruption. I think that disruption is how companies grow. And then I would also say I really love that our company provides an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives every single day. We have a really passionate and empowering culture, and we want everyone to bring their passion to work every day and have fun. And changing lives is our business. I mean, we find people jobs so they can take care of themselves and their families. We help companies grow by identifying talent. We provide career opportunities for growth and development. So Leslie, I guess for me, it's not just a job. It's an opportunity to impact lives every single day. And I don't think you can say that every company provides that kind of opportunity. It's pretty special.
Well, Stacey, I remember the first time we met. I'd like to say it feels like yesterday, but it was several years ago, and it does kind of feel like yesterday. But I remember meeting you with a group of people from StaffMark, and this core group of people who you would go with from conference to conference, and I would see you at the different events together. You could really just see the bond that you all shared, and it was almost like the company hit the lottery with this group of executives, which we'll touch on a little bit later as something that perhaps could be a bit of the secret sauce. But you mentioned a lot of phrases and words that you don't hear every day. So hopefully people can take heart to that and really soak that in to think about what makes that difference, especially when you're thinking about retention and tenure of employees. Well, obviously, Stacey, we've had COVID, and you mentioned prior to COVID that you'd leave your house at 5 a.m. on a Monday and basically come back Friday night, that you're a shoulder-to-shoulder leader. I love that visual, just getting in the trenches and working with your teams and like being involved in the day-to-day of the business. But what's been interesting for you is that COVID taught you something about yourself as a leader, especially being in California. You were the first to shut down. You had to close all branches in basically a day. You had over 100 internal employees on a call within an hour, and basically to be prepared with the right equipment to operate remotely. And you mentioned California was a dress rehearsal of sorts, so you could then learn and then replicate in other states. So one of the things when we were kind of catching up, you mentioned was that this change in COVID really forced you to work on the business versus in the business, and that perhaps the way you thought of shoulder to shoulder could mean something else. So tell us more about how you had to adjust then and what it means for your leadership style going forward.
Sure. Yes, Leslie, you're right. I was a road warrior and highly engaged with our teams and our clients a lot in person. And that was just how we operated. And so, of course, COVID-19 forced all of us to press pause on travel. But we still had to keep matching jobs and people. We just had to do it in a different way. And so, of course, we all had to work remotely. And I remember it started that Gino Cotolo, who's our president and CEO at StaffMark Group, created this fantastic vehicle to create discipline for our leadership team and set the tone and expectation each day by starting a video call every morning at 7 a.m. for our executive team. I can remember the first call and I was wondering, how is all this going to work? But now we all look forward to these calls and actually seeing each other. So I think by embracing technology to help me do my job, I was actually able to even increase engagement. And it's interesting, I was no longer limited to an interaction with whomever I was with at the time or on a conference call. I can interact and see people around the country at the same time, even people I hadn't met yet in our branches. We do things like virtual lunches, virtual coaching, virtual training. And what's been really fun is we started a leadership message program where we all take turns reading a book about leadership and then create a deck and share what we've learned. And now we've incorporated that into our weekly field calls as well. We're also having fun too. I have an all hands call every Monday and I have a Stacey's must watch list that I share with everyone of what I'm watching or binge watching. And just yesterday, we started our own version of Inside the NFL. Really, really fun. So in terms of working on the business rather than in the business, COVID gave us an opportunity to really strategically look at our business and afforded us the time to do that as leaders so that we could strengthen our processes, operating metrics, expand our tech stack, and drive improvements that probably would have taken a lot longer to execute. And engagement no longer, to me, is tethered to a car or an airplane schedule. I get to engage with this expanded outreach. And when I was thinking about this too, you know, when FaceTime capabilities first came out, I don't know about you, but the notion of video calls for me was like kind of a novelty. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't use it very often. And now it seems weird to even talk on the phone without being able to see someone. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's like old school if you're just having a phone conversation, although it's a nice break from time to time, but it does seem odd when you're not on video talking and just feeling like you're together having that conversation.
Yeah.
Well, you did share one of the things that you felt like coming out of this too, and you mentioned the 7 a.m. meetings where you as a leadership team get together, but you feel like you're stronger than ever as a team, figuring out again how to coach remotely, better engagement. I love the stories of what you're doing with your teams and you're having fun and mixing things in there for engagement. And during this pandemic, would you say it's kind of all of those things combined that are making you stronger than ever? What's really standing out to, like, why were you able to be so successful in this quick turnaround time?
Yeah. So as a leadership team, and we mentioned this before when you and I had spoken, we have been planning for an economic downturn for 2 years prior to COVID. And our leadership team was held accountable for composing remediation plans that we could quickly execute on. So we were ready. And we also have been monitoring our new business prospects and the industries that we were targeting related to non-cyclical or recession-proof, even within our current portfolio of clients. We also executed on a restructuring plan early in January of this year in anticipation of an economic downturn. And so because of all of those things, when COVID hit and demanded a new delivery system for our services, we were able to turn it around pretty quickly and make adjustments. We also made a conscious decision to bet on our people. And I think this is really special and important. A lot of our competitors made enterprise-wide decisions with layoffs, furloughs, salary cuts to react to COVID and how their business is behaving, which is understandable. And while we certainly had to right-size the business and do some of those things, it wasn't enterprise-wide. It was more geocentric and client-centric. And we made a decision to double down on our team because we believed that we could recover more rapidly by retaining our foundation of our top performers and our people. And then finally, this is really special too, we established a future state task force that's been tasked to develop long-term plans around sustainability, delivery, how we're going to grow our business, depending on whether the impact of COVID lasts 6 months or, oh gosh, 24 months or somewhere in between.
And speaking of COVID, Stacey, and being grounded, you happen to realize personally what's most important to you and that you somewhat took advantage of things for a long time. So now you are investing in yourself, networking more, making healthier lifestyle choices, even making appointments for yourself. You eat dinner with your family every night and have been making up for lost time with your parents as well. So let's fast forward to 2021. Let's say things are heating up again with business travel and just business in general. In fact, you're already starting to hit the road from what I understand. What is your plan to hold on? Because this stresses me out a little bit too. This is the longest I've ever gone without flying somewhere for work. What is your plan to hold on to what you've gained during COVID and not go back to the way that it was?
Well, that's a great question. And it's a lot easier said than done. You're right. I am back on the road. And in fact, I was in Minnesota most of last week, and it was hard. You start off with really great intentions, and it's really easy to revert back to old habits. So what I'm trying to do differently now is that I don't have to be booked from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. I'm keeping core appointments, and I'm trying to manage my time better. So I still participate in the 7 a.m. executive briefings, and I try to organize my schedule to accommodate things that I don't want to abandon, like networking. And remember, I was on the ASA call with you last week. Normally, I would have just said, I can't be there. Investing in myself through reading, like you said, making healthy choices. I have appointments on my calendar that are investments in me, and I can make it work if I make it important. I'm also holding true to my personal commitments, even virtually. And as you know, Leslie, I recently lost my father to a 4-year battle with prostate cancer 4 weeks ago. And I've been FaceTiming my parents every night at 6 o'clock, no matter what. And now my whole team knows that when that alarm goes off on my phone, everyone says, oh, it's time for Stacey to call her mom. And I got to go call my mom. And I do a virtual Bible study with my father and my mother-in-law on Tuesday nights. I FaceTime my family every day. I did a Zoom call with my son last week to get him enrolled in some classes since he struggled to do it by himself. But I just have to stay connected professionally and personally. And I'm just trying to make a conscious decision to make it work.
That's the key thing. And a couple of things you mentioned, you know, first of all, I was so sorry to hear about the loss of your father. I know you were really close to your dad, and what a blessing to have the technology to be able to spend so much time with him and to even go in person to be with him. And I'm sure your mom appreciates knowing how much you are a road warrior, that she gets to see you actually quite a bit, but also stay connected with you and your family through FaceTime. You mentioned abandoning networking opportunities where it's it's really easy to just put something on the schedule but not hold true to it and not keep it, because it's kind of easy, like, well, they don't really need me on that call. Why am I doing that? I'm going to skip it. But I have to tell you, you have such a great voice in the industry and a lot to say. So we've appreciated having you on those calls. And it's just fun to, you know, build those professional working relationships as well. And I like that you are guarding your calendar. So making sure that, you know, like your team knows when your alarm goes off, you're calling your mom, or finding times during the day just to take breaks to make, if it's healthy choices, a quick read, whatever it may be, really guarding your calendar. That's something that I've been trying to work hard at. It's been especially hard during COVID with just changes as far as not being able to go to the gym at the times or at all, or, you know, not having the same flexibility as it relates to kids in school and so forth. But blocking that calendar and staying true to it, it's in your control to do it. You have the power to control it. And that's the key thing, is people don't always think that way. And once you get into that mindset, it's a really beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that. I believe, Stacey, that being your own career champion and having confidence tend to go hand in hand. More often than not, women are overlooked for promotions or don't perform as well on performance reviews because they aren't always just proactively putting themselves out there, sharing individual and team successes. Women often are known to kind of wait to be handed something rather than going for it. And you actually have an interesting story about when a role opened up at Staffmark. So tell us about your experience and how you encourage others to reach really outside of their comfort zone to do the same, and how going through this process really helped you believe in yourself and gain confidence.
Yeah, so a bunch of years ago, I raised my hand to create a business plan for improvements for our company nationwide. And I really lacked the confidence in myself and my ideas as I was putting them down. So I solicited feedback from a whole bunch of people. And it resulted in something that really no longer represented my opinions. It was more of a patchwork quilt. It was really safe, and I regretted it afterwards. And when the role of the executive vice president for field operations opened up, I made a promise to myself that regardless of whether I got the job or not, I was going to do me 100% in my presentation. It would be all my ideas. And even if they were wrong, I wanted to represent how I thought. And I was prepared to defend my ideas and my thought process. And I guess it worked since I got the job, but I think it's important to trust your voice. And you know, you mentioned my father. My father was really passionate about women's rights and the advancement of women. It really made me believe that anything was possible, and gender really was a non-factor. So when I was in sixth grade, I had plans to run for the office of secretary. My dad said, well, why are you running for secretary? You need to run for president. And so I did, and I won. And I also work in an environment where ideas are encouraged. So one of RGF Staffing's fundamental values is to bet on passion. And we're a team of people that are fueled by curiosity, and we shouldn't stifle that. We have to respect and capitalize on our differences. And we should know that one person's crazy idea, when it's backed by data, research, passion, can become the next best bet.
If I could stand up and give you a clapping ovation right now, I would. I agree with you completely. And I love the story about your dad kind of pushing you, you know, just thinking, well, why run for secretary? You could be president. Putting those thoughts in our head and having people be our champion along the way just to really push us. But at the end of the day, if you don't put yourself out there and take that risk and take that chance, there's, you know, not really a shot for that to happen. So I think it's good for people to hear your story and know that even you, you know, relying, kind of changing things up and listening to other people, coming full circle, trusting your gut, having that confidence and just going for it. It's a good story that people need to hear. And I would say, you know, speaking of that, with having a champion, there's also having mentors in your life. And many women in the staffing industry haven't ever had a female mentor or leader in the C-suite. In your case, Stacey, you were surrounded by strong women, including Lisa Francis, who helped mentor you over the years. Let's talk about being a leader and a mentor. However, before we go into what you've learned from your leaders and mentors, I wanted you to hear what others had to say about your leadership style and learning from you. So going off script here for a second, I reached out to Lisa Francis. And for those of you who don't know, she just started LJF Consulting and you all worked together for about 10 years. So while originally I wanted to hear what you learned from her as your mentor, here's what she had to say. Stacy is such a great leader. One of her greatest strengths is listening. Stacy listens to those around her to gain understanding before making a decision. This helps her make better decisions. She also asks for feedback from her boss and peers on how she can make improvements. Some people ask the question but don't really want the feedback. Stacy takes this information and uses it to alter her course if she feels it is warranted. Her collaboration does not slow her down, which is important for a leader to move quickly. Because Stacy cares about her team, makes solid decisions, and has a passion for what she does, she has a very loyal following, which contributes to her success. Very loyal following, which
wow.
leads to Andrea Edwards. Guess who I just talked to? Andrea Edwards. As you know, she has her own company now called Scout Communications Group, and she was your head of marketing. She was with Staffmark for over 27 years. And this is what she had to say. My thoughts on Stacy, or as I call her, she has a nickname for you, right?
Stacela.
Yes, Stacela. I had the great joy of working with Stacela for more years than I can remember. We had great fun and some epic, shall we say, debates. Her energy is contagious, her enthusiasm is infectious, and her commitment to her team is second to none. She ends every conversation with, okay, what can I be doing for you? She's smart and sharp and always in learner mode, and she is always her authentic self. From me to you, love you more, Stacela. So that was from Andrea. And you know, Stacy, I've got one more here for you because I met you when I was with Leah McKelvey and you happened to be with Andrea. And I believe Lisa was there too. And Mary Lucas, you all had this amazing group of leaders within your company.
Donna Carroll
as well. And just a lot of people who were working with you. And Leah and I had worked together and this is what she had to say. So Leah is the RVP of Enterprise EMEA for Bullhorn. Stacy is full of authenticity. There's a theme here, if you haven't noticed, Stacy, and warmth. From the first time we connected, I felt I had known her for years. That accessibility shines through when you hear her talk about her teams and her clients or see her posting pictures with her offices in the field. Goes back, Stacy, I think, to your shoulder to shoulder. I'm so grateful for Stacy's leadership in the industry, but also how generous she is with her time and experience to me and many others. Thanks for being you and making a bigger impact at Staffmark and beyond than your humble self will acknowledge. I remember calling you one of the most humble leaders I've ever met, Stacy, when we were getting to know each other. So three people who admire you. You've worked as coworkers, your friends in the industry, from Lisa to Andrea to Leah. They've all, you know, been part of shaping the leader of who you are today. Maybe tell us a little bit of your kind of thoughts on that, what stands out to you and what you think you've kind of pulled from the Lisas and other mentors of the world.
Wow, that was really special and definitely off book. Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome.
I have such great admiration for all three of those women, and I'm really taken aback by some of those wonderful comments that's so special and means so much to me personally and professionally. I gather so much from everybody that I interact with. I think that learning is always a journey and you should pursue every opportunity that you can. It's funny when you were talking about Lisa, I could have almost written what she was going to say because she was really, really good at giving feedback. So you knew exactly where you stood with her. Lisa Francis is a great leader and mentor to me to this day, but our styles are really different. And I think the first year we worked together, and she would laugh if she heard this, I think she saw me as kind of a wild child. But watching Lisa integrate three companies, Leslie, was seriously like being in a masterclass. When I think about, and especially in the last 3 years, Lisa teaching me how to integrate organizations, especially field, I still carry around, it's absolutely true, a printout, it's got like coffee stains and stuff all over it, of Lisa's quote, new leadership key questions. Carry it with me everywhere I go, and I use them all the time. And they're questions like, what do you most hope I do? What are you concerned that I might do? What advice do you have for me? Lisa also taught me that you can't have allegiance to any one brand, regardless of where you came from, and create balance within your leadership team. She shared this philosophy of, and I don't know if you know this, of everyone starts with an A. You don't have to earn it. You already have it. But whether you keep it or not is up to you. And I think this establishes trust right away when you start to work with people that work with a different organization or even in networking. And Lisa also taught me to make decisions like I was one level up in the company. And she always said, this makes you think about the best interest of others outside of your scope. And it makes it easier to get promoted because you're already thinking that way. I really value Lisa as a mentor today, and I greatly value our relationship. She's a fantastic role model. Andrea Edwards, I don't think that you could find a better communicator on this planet, and really knows how to craft and compose difficult communications and position things in the right way. And I'm so proud of her and starting her own organization and the flexibility that she has with that. And of course, with Leah McKelvey, I have such admiration for her. She's really the person that forced me into networking. And as I've mentioned to you, Leslie, that's something that doesn't come easy for me. And Leah just embraces it with a really big bear hug. And she sort of nudged me to get involved into things where I probably wouldn't have done it on my own. And I am so grateful for her for doing that, because I've met people like you and others in the industry and even outside the industry. So I don't know, I'm just really overwhelmed and touched by all of that. Thank you for sharing that for me. I'm so glad this is recorded so I can listen to it again.
I'll send you the written words as well so you have them. And you know, it's important to reflect on the impact not only that, you know, others have made on your career, but now also how people see you, because we don't always see in ourselves when we look in the mirror what others see. So it's important for you to hear those words and know that you are making a difference and you are making an impact. And it's just nice to hear, you know, when you think about your leadership style and wonder, God, what is it? And try to think about it, just to have other people frame it. It's certainly helpful. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that. And thank you to Lisa, Andrea, and Leah for contributing. Okay, Stacy, I have to share one other story because you are truly one of the most humble leaders I've ever met. While you are in a very strategic position, you mentioned not wanting to ever stop doing what got you there in the first place. For example, I don't know of many executive vice presidents who jump in and answer the phone or regularly engage with candidates and the team in the day-to-day business. I bet your team loves seeing you in action. So what kind of reaction actually do you get from other recruiters, and what advice do you have for leaders around staying engaged in the business, really trying to keep a pulse on how things are done day to day?
Well, I don't know if they like it or not, but I think they get a kick out of it. Watching me answer the phone, talking to a candidate about an interview and still getting excited. Leslie, I think more than anything, it's staying close to where the magic happens in the field, which are the day-to-day fundamentals. I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed that sometimes people are successful and they get promoted and then they stop doing the things that got them promoted in the first place? There's only so much that you can learn from an income statement or reports. Sometimes the answers are out where the action is. And I truly believe that my job is to be the voice of our field organization. I've got to find ways to hire people faster, fill jobs more quickly, and uncover challenges so that we can provide solutions to them. And you've got to spend time with them and you've got to ask the right questions. The other thing that is important is creating trust and transparency. And you've got to humanize your role in order to do that. I always find it kind of strange that people might be nervous to meet me or talk to me, because to me, I'm just Stacy. I've got this big fancy title on my business card, but I'm really still just Stacy. And I'm never interested in any sort of superficial engagement. I'm just Stacy. I fight with my husband. My kids can be jerks. And this is a true story. Last week, I accidentally put my pants on backwards, and I didn't realize it until I got to one of the branches. So sharing that side of me is disarming, and I think it loosens things up. I really seek to understand, and I do a lot of listening. So the final comment I wanted to make is that I really do believe in servant leadership 100%. My son Spencer played high school football and wrestled for 4 years. I learned some really great business lessons in being a spectator. So for football, I think it's really the ultimate team sport. You've got 22 guys that can't make anything happen without each other. If the team shows up but the coach doesn't, a game's still going to be played. Maybe it's not the greatest game, but there's still going to be a game. If the coach shows up but the team doesn't, there's not going to be a game. And my job as a coach is to understand, stand on the sidelines, cheer them on, provide the best training, equipment, preparation, tools so that they can win the games. And that's kind of my come to work uniform. I just think you got to get your hands dirty to be an effective leader.
Okay, that might be one of the funniest stories I've heard. First of all, you admitted you put your pants on backwards and went to the office. But Stacey, it's a true testament to why I mentioned you being one of the most humble leaders I know, because you're willing to share things, be open. You realize that you're just human. And I love that analogy about the coach on the sidelines. And if you don't have the right players, you're not going to win that game. It takes the two working so well together to really make it work. And that's something that you've been really successful doing throughout your career, is aligning the right playbook, the right players and team, and the right leadership to make that happen. So thank you for sharing that story.
Sure.
So Stacey, you have a son. He's in his early 20s and you were a single mom for many years. You mentioned a few things to me that really stood out. First, you always surrounded yourself with a good support system. You also loved that you were showing your son what a woman can do, that the sky is really the limit and no holding back. There's not holding back anything based on gender roles or labels. And if you missed something, you made up for it. And you always did. And I love, love, love what you would tell his teachers. Just because I'm on the road doesn't mean that I don't care. Here's my mobile number. You were setting the stage that while you may not be there in person, you're not absent. And the time you did have together, you were always present. Never felt like you compromised your family or your job. In fact, Stacey, when you described it to me, it sounded like quite the opposite. Finding so-called balance or having work and personal lives integrated, it can be a struggle for many. So feeling like you're always kind of failing at one or the other. So I guess I'm going to ask you a couple questions on this front. How have you as a company incorporated that same philosophy that you have and that you carry from a cultural perspective? It's one thing for you to personally lead that way and set an example. It's great for people to see you that way. Again, what they can see, they can be. But it's another to actually support it for a company as well.
Yeah, and that is challenging. So as a company, we work really hard to value family first as a philosophy. And quite frankly, that comes from Gino. He does a really good job. Gino has 5 children, but he gives speeches about work-life balance, and he truly lives this, and he sets such a great example for all of us. And when I interact with top performers throughout our company, I always try to remember to tell them, thank your spouses, thank your significant others, thank your family for the support that they give to you to contribute to Staff Mark Group. It's really important to us that our team members don't have to miss out on family time to be successful in their role, and we can show them how to do it. You know, we even have a permissive PTO program that doesn't box an employee into a defined amount of time based on like their role or their tenure. You can take the time off that you need while still achieving the results required of your role. I experienced this firsthand when my father passed away several weeks ago. I mean, I literally checked out of work. No calls, no emails, no nothing. And I take a personal interest in our employees' families whenever I can. Obviously, being in this virtual environment, sometimes you see kids and dogs and spouses that join into the call. And I really embrace that. Like you said, I was a single mom for about half the time I've been at Staff Mark, and I'm really fortunate that I work for a company that is sensitive to family demands, and it's encouraged at every level. And you know, another thing I was thinking about, when a new employee starts with us at Staff Mark Group, Gino hosts a CEO welcome call where they're able to ask him questions, and he really emphasizes this belief of work-life balance right at the onset of joining the company. It's pretty special.
Well, that's terrific. It starts from the top down, and leading by example is so critical. So it's, again, one thing to offer it as a company, but it's another thing for people to see the executives living that way as well. So I give you both a lot of credit and other leaders in your company for taking that to heart and showing people that you are human, that you have lives too. You'd like to spend time with your families and take care of yourself, be healthy, and that that's important for them to do the same thing. So Stacey, I'm going to close with a question, just asking you to share, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Okay. You're going to laugh, Leslie. So you need to brace yourself.
Oh, boy. I should ask for answers in advance. So
No. This is a good one because it's really so simple, but it is some of the best advice I have ever been given. I've actually given a speech about this. So are you ready?
Ready. Lay it on
me. Don't be a pain in the butt. Seriously. And when I heard this, I thought it was a joke. I mean, how could this be good advice? But think about it. No one wants to work with a pain in the butt. In order to be successful, and I say this all the time, in order to be successful, people have to want you to be successful, and you don't get there on your own. And you can apply this philosophy to everything. Think about change management. Be open to change. Be resilient. Strengthen your organizational relationships and invest in them because you're going to need them. Don't complain. Don't make excuses. Find a way to persevere and bring solutions to the conversation. Buy in to team decisions. Don't just give it lip service. There's a difference, in my opinion, between commitment and compliance. Compliance is just doing what somebody tells you to do. Commitment is throwing your heart into it. And make it easy for people to work with you. Adapt. Channel your energy into how something is going to work rather than why it won't work. Respond to coaching and feedback. Make changes. But rather than be defensive, interpret it as an investment in you. And not being a pain in the butt, it applies to your personal life too. It's funny, but when you think about, like I said before, and you're a road warrior, do you really want to be difficult when you only get 2 days a week with your family? Don't create conflict. Be flexible. Be adaptable. It's a funny story. I have a bonus daughter who's now 17, but when I met her, she was 8, and she ate a total of 5 foods, Leslie, 5. And I used to get all worked up and frustrated with her, and it affected our relationship. And I realized I was really just being a pain in the butt about it. Who cares what she eats? She's an amazing kid. And when I haven't seen my family all week, I want to be around them and celebrate them. In all my interactions, I try not to be difficult to work with or communicate with, and it has always served me well.
I love your advice. And I'm going to take it to heart because honestly, don't be a pain in the butt. My son, he's kind of like your bonus daughter, does not eat that much, but he eats. So you know what? Eventually he'll eat more. Who knows? But to be a little bit more calm about it and so forth. So Stacey, it's been wonderful having you on our podcast. Let's say someone's listening and they'd like to reach out to you. What's your preferred method of outreach?
You know, either way, mobile or email. So my cell phone number is 714-448-7673. Or you can email me at stacey.lane@staffmarkgroup.com. And I welcome any opportunity to communicate with anyone.
You're open to networking. That is great. You're making it a priority. All right, Stacey, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate it. I had a fun.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest, or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.